¡Órale!
¡Sí, señor!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP Podcast. Primos are in the house and we're ready. We are on YouTube. Make sure everybody, you're spiking the like, giving us a like and subscribe. Make sure you're following us on Familia FFP on YouTube. We got Primo Hector. ¿Cómo estás, bebé?
Good, man. Ready to rock and roll. It's a nice, cozy evening here in the San Fernando Valley and ready to go.
And straight out of Sonoma, we got Nico Las Vegas. Primo Nico, ¿cómo estamos?
Giants, that's right, baby.
Está bien. We know where your raza is, and we also know that after tomorrow, so we're recording this on Wednesday evening, after Thursday evening, we know that you're going to dig out all that Dodger gear and just bring it right back, because we going in the house that Willie McCutcheon, you know, that Barry Bonds built, and we're gonna knock it, you know, we're gonna knock it out of the park, and we're gonna advance and take literally on those Bravos. Vámonos, baby.
Hey, George, you and I both know you can't spell Lancaster without LA.
Oh,
I like that one, Nico.
That's a good one. Oh, you know what? You can tell he's never heard that one before.
Yeah. We're primos, and I'm so glad that primo from Spanish to English translates so well, because primo is such a good word. I mean, it could have been something else, like, you know, oh, we're cacas. Yeah, my caca cousin. Yeah. But it's primo, you know, it's like the prime. We are prime brothers.
So. That's right.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, because as we always say, todos somos familia. But we are especially, we're sangre. Sangre. Ricky, you're hoping that Primo Ricky joins us. Yeah, he had another commitment, but he's going to try and come in. But, hey, make sure you're following us at familiaffb.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at familiaffb. We'll give everybody else's information. But you know what? First off, I know we're going to talk about some football, but I'm so fired up about this game. I mean, I was a little worried about last night with the Dodgers. But now, hey, you know what? We got a Mexican left-hander on the mound tomorrow with this, you know, ready for a clinch game.
Let's go.
It's 40-year. Go ahead, baby.
No, I thought they would go game five, because they always do. The advertisers do it on purpose. I thought I heard some good Sam trash cans in the back doing code, you know, saying, hey, you know, five games. We need some more ads. So, you know, so good for good Sam, because it comes back to the Bay Area. I was supposed to go to the game, but my best friend's brother, cousin's, sister-in-law's next-door neighbor did not have a ticket for me, so I won't be able to go.
So that's okay. You'll be watching with me with the rest of us. You'll be watching with the rest of us now. But that's the cool thing, because all of a sudden you were telling me earlier today, you got like five, you know, TV screens in your house. So now all of a sudden you can actually watch that and Thursday night football, because the games are going to be going on at the same time.
Yeah. We're going to spin the web, as in our picture, to catch the Dodgers. And it'll be very, very exciting. So I'm looking forward to it.
And us, yeah, on the 40th anniversary of Fernando Mania, we've got from Sinaloa, Julio Urias, 20-game winner, first 20-game winner in 5 years, 5 años. And you know what? A Mexican left-hander, we love it. Fernando, you know, was such an inspiration 40 years ago for all of us. Even Nico. Nico was a fan back then. But, you know, wouldn't it be cool to do it again? And another bit of information, Friday. So they got to keep playing, because Friday is the 33rd anniversary of the Kirk Gibson home run.
Whoa.
Well, you know, 140, it'll be the anniversary, 140 years of the cable car being invented. So, you know, we've got that one also. You know, hey, I've got a whole bunch too. Come on. You want to go?
Hey, you know what? Hey, you know what? Yeah, that's cool. Let the cable car, let all the San Francisco people, you know, take the cable cars all over the place. Let them go to the bars and the cantinas and everything so they could drink plenty of wine and, you know, whiskey and tequila or something like that and just drown their sorrows because it's going to be on, baby. I know.
Well,
I
as it. They did in Rocky, ding, ding. Let's go.
Yeah. Hey, it kind of comes full circle, right? The cable car is also known as a trolley, and the Dodgers are trolley Dodgers.
Muy bien.
That would be a good little commercial. That, you know, San Francisco coming down, Dodgers are trying to get out of the way. And right. I like that.
There you go.
I love it. I love it.
That's why they're called the Dodgers. There
you go. That's right. So yes. we don't mind if you guys borrow that. You know, we don't have any rights to it, so go ahead and take it. You know, run with it. It's all good. So
well, familia, first off, before we get into everything, also, you know, there's another Dodger related comment. I got permission to republish an article that I wrote 12 years ago for the Dodger magazine. I got permission from the Dodgers and other entities to repurpose that article. And I put it on the familiaffb.com website. And I've already seen we've gotten a lot of traction to the website because of that article.
That's awesome.
This article is chronicling the childhood friendship between Clayton Kershaw and Matthew Stafford. So, you know, a lot of people have talked about the fact that they grew up together. Well, I'm lucky enough that I wrote this article when Kershaw had just turned 21 years old and he was going into his first full season in the big leagues. And Matthew Stafford, I timed it so that this would go out the same month that he was getting drafted by the Detroit Lions, as it turned out, number one overall in the NFL draft. And I tell you, it was so cool kind of reliving that article and kind of reading it again and looking and seeing the stars. Definitely Kershaw and Stafford are stars now, and they were then. They were rising stars then, but the stars of this article were the moms, las mamas. Mrs. Stafford, Mrs. Kershaw, they were just fantastic in the interviews that I did with them. They were just, and I even got to talk to one of their youth coaches who relayed a story of watching the two of them, you know, Clayton and Matthew take playing catch with a football. And when they were 7 years old, and he said, okay, these kids don't have 7 year old arms. They're different. So it was, it was really cool. So familia, I really hope you make sure to check out that article, and I've got it pinned to my Twitter account. So please make sure you're checking it out. It was seeing the vintage photos of the two of them when they were 7 years old. And then when they were on the Dodgers of all teams, holding up a championship trophy when they were 10 years old. I mean, it was just priceless. A lot of people have seen those photos over the years. Well, you know, I actually was the one who acquired them, and the Dodgers have them in their library right now. So it's really cool. It's really cool. Very proud of it. Awesome. Very proud of it. Even Nico's going to read it. Even Nico's going to read the article. And you know, and I just love the fact that they're both in LA now, and it's just
full circle. We're talking about
it's so awesome, so utterly awesome. Well, before we get into some other stuff, I also want to give a shout out to my hermano from another familia, from the Rum Boys Fantasy Network, Robbie Johnson. He sat me down, gave me over StreamYard of all things, a tutorial on, you know, kind of get our YouTube presence a little bit better and kind of get our message out there a little bit more. So hopefully we're reaching more people because of that. So I could already tell that our waiver wire show went to a few more people than usual. So, hey, familia, we're always glad to get more familia in the house. So nod to the Rum Boys. Muchas gracias, Robbie. So let's get into the betting preview. Okay. So, we got three bets that we're putting down right this week.
These are our slam dunks.
These are our slam dunks, and there's going to be plenty of discussion. And actually, Nico, I also want you to share your money line, underdog money line bet. But number one, Pittsburgh -5 points against Seattle. That was my pick. To me, the reason why I went, I was looking at this pick was the fact that Pittsburgh's at home. I know this has not been a great year for Big Ben, but their defense is still great. Their running game is still great. Seattle is not defending the run, nor definitely not defending the run and against the pass. They're definitely not doing well against wide receivers. And this game is in Pittsburgh. You know, the 5-point line, I know, and Geno Smith taking over at quarterback. I think this is a 2-touchdown win for Pittsburgh.
I agree. I mean, I see Geno Smith in his last game. He threw a pick. You know,
yeah,
he hasn't, you know, he hasn't seen much, you know, much work in the NFL, you know, for several years. He's very, very spotty, very sporadic, comes in here and there. He's been a backup for quite a while now. So yeah, I don't really see him doing much. Pittsburgh's got a pretty, you know, above average defense. I think they're going to get fits all day. You know, everyone's already been talking, you know, the offense is taking a step down. If you have Metcalf, if you have Lockett, you know, those guys are going to, you know, definitely take a dip down in production. So it's kind of known already that the Seattle offense is definitely not going to be what it is under you know, Russell Wilson, you know, being out with a, you know, jacked up finger. So, yeah, I definitely see this Pittsburgh minus 5. They win easy, at least by a touchdown. So that, I think that's a definite lock. I like that pick.
Nico, what do you think? What do you think, Nico?
Do we lose him? Do we lose you, Nico?
Nico, talk to us.
All right. Now I finally collected my thoughts and I can express to you how I really feel. I was holding my tongue and my microphone, but here I am. Here I am. I call it the Fitzmagic, you know. It's kind of like whenever these guys get a chance to go in, and Geno did a good job. He marched down, he scored in that one with Lockett. Lockett fell. You know, he would have caught that. I think it would have been 7 for 7. And so I think Geno's going to come out. He knows it's his only chance. So he is going to go for it all the way. Just like with a new coach, they come in and they're fired up. It's not just another game. He knows the player. So he gets them fired up. And I don't know how many times a new coach or new quarterbacks come in. And you've seen that. How many times Brady came in, you know, when Bledsoe was out. And look, I think he turned out okay. So, I think.
Are you comparing Geno Smith to Brady? Come on, Primo. That local?
Brady did it his first shot. Geno's been in the league for a long time already, and he just hasn't proven that he can do it. So, I mean, I'm just saying.
I'm looking into my crystal ball, which I call the Golden Gate Fog Ball. And it says that Geno is going to have a good game and that straight out Seahawks are going to win this game. So wow. You heard it here.
Okay.
And last week I had 3 money line games, underdogs, they all came in, and the week before that. And I'll give you my 3 later, but for right now I don't want to chime in yet. Georgie, you take it from here, and my hot mic will be given up to you now. So
who was the one who picked Dallas minus 4?
That was me.
Okay, talk to me. Dígame.
Well, if you guys haven't noticed, Dallas is on fire. They're playing as well as they ever have in the past. And they have Zeke. I mean, they have a great receiving core. They've got a good running back. And Dak is playing as good, if not as better than anybody in the National Football League. He's percentage on passes that are caught and everything else is just – it's up there. And Dallas is just on fire. And they are one of those things that they're really good when they're on fire. And when they suck, they really suck. So – they're either hot or cold, and they're hot right now. And I think they'll go into any house. America's team, you know, will come in, and I see them winning straight out. So if you want, you know, a lock of the week, that was my second lock of the week. So, again, disagreeing with you guys, but this is why I'm like Nico it. Las Vegas and not no. Nico Reno, you know.
I like it.
Heck, what do you think?
I agree. Dallas is, I mean, they're clicking on all cylinders, you know, and – Zeke's healthy. I mean, last year was a big question mark. You know, he was getting over COVID and he just didn't have the season that we thought he would have last year. He's running it this year. Zeke is, you know, and we haven't even heard from Tony Pollard much, right? Because Zeke's just handling his business. You know, first couple of games.
Pollard's getting in some run. He's getting a little run.
Yeah, yeah.
Not as much as Zeke. Zeke is dominating.
The shine isn't there. You know what I'm saying? The first couple of weeks was like, oh my God, there was like a running back controversy. Tony Pollard's going to come in. We haven't heard any of that these last couple of games. Zeke is doing his thing. But even still, Pollard is like you're saying, he's capable as well. But I mean, they have a two-headed monster there, you know, behind the quarterback. So I like that pick. Goddard's doing his thing there at tight end. Not Goddard, but who's Dallas's tight end?
Dalton Schultz.
Yes, Schultz, exactly. Dalton
Schultz.
Schultz has been stud. He's been stud.
Minus four. Yeah, I mean, New England's doing great. They're doing their thing too. But yeah. I'm okay for sure with Dallas minus four for sure.
Yeah, that one Schultz, he sees nothing. This Schultz, he sees everything and he catches it too. So
yeah, to
the I like it a lot.
To the tune of being the tight end four. Now this was a week that had a lot of trap games. It had a lot of good teams on the road. And I always worry about, you know, home, you know, road favorites, home underdogs. So I'm conflicted on this game because on the one hand, everything you guys said is correct. Dallas is playing well. They've got an incredibly balanced offense. They are hitting on all cylinders. The line has been playing great. Trayvon Diggs is becoming a superstar in the back on the back of the secondary. You got Micah Parsons, who's emerging as a rookie of the year, a defensive rookie of the year candidate. Just, I mean, stars all over the place, even on the helmets. But it's that, and the other part is the Patriots. They struggled to beat the Texans. Now game was in Houston. This game is going to be in Foxborough, which that just worries me a little bit because you got Belichick at home. So that just me hace cosa a little bit. It worries me a little bit. That's the only thing.
No, I hear you. I mean, just also remember though, George, that Dallas just put up 44 points on the board the last game. So they're, it may come down to that not even mattering. You know what I'm saying? They just, right now they're just on, like Nico said, they're scoring, they're putting up points in bunches. So, New England's good.
They're averaging a hair over 40 points over the last three games.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to just talk about was you talked about traveling. I don't think travel fatigue is what it used to be because these guys have been home for a year, so family's a little bit tighter. These guys have been stuffed in their little places, you know, in their mansions. They've had to stay in the mansions all, you know, for a year. But they're ready to travel. So traveling to them, I'm sure, is as exciting and reminds them as much as the locker room does. So I don't think that fatigue is really there anymore. So if anything else, it's the excitement. Like, I'm going to London. I'm going here. I'm traveling. We're going to go kick their butt. So
I'm going to Boston.
I think visiting teams aren't as fatigued as they used to be, at least for this year. So.
I do kind of feel like the crowds are playing more of a part. I think the home field advantage is definitely returning. So I think that's going to be, I think that's going to be interesting in this game. The other one is another home field advantage. This is another, and this is, heck, you had this one, Arizona plus three.
That's a big,
talk to me. Think
of it. Hey, if anyone watched that incredible game between the Chargers and the Browns on Sunday, you were definitely treated to some magical football. The thing that stands out to me the most is that the Chargers scored 47 points on the Cleveland Browns defense. You know, the Cleveland Browns defense has been, you know, they've got a lot of hype this year. Like, oh my God, these guys are incredible. And, you know, this stout defense, but they just gave up 47 points to the Chargers. And, you know, as Chargers, you know, nothing to sneeze at, right? They went and beat KC at Arrowhead. You know, they just beat Cleveland just unstoppable. You know, like Nico's talking about Dallas, Chargers are right there too. They're just on fire right now. They're just doing their damn thing. Arizona's undefeated. You know, so to me, you know, it's like they say, what they say about the champions, you're the champion until somebody knocks you off. You know, Arizona is that team right now. They're undefeated, and they're going to continue to do so until someone knocks them out. I'm not seeing anything that, you know, it's really not what Cleveland showed against the Chargers with that defense and allowing that many points. I see Arizona going in there. Kyler is just doing his damn thing. He's, you know, the whole offense is clicking. They're just doing it. And yeah, Arizona plus three, definitely 3 points. Yeah, I see more than that.
They're not even talking about their defense. I mean, Watt went over there for a reason, and I was kind of surprised. Like, why would you go over there? And their QBs are just great. I mean, they're fast, quick. Coverage is good, and I think you're going to see a lot more interceptions, even more than what they've had over Arizona, and they're just going to dominate all the way through. You know, so I agree.
Yeah, I think Arizona wins this. I think Arizona wins another really good game. It's mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield played a lot better. They're, you know, I think this has another shootout potential. The Browns are gonna run all over the place. The Arizona Cardinals are a little bit better against the run against the pass than they are against the run. So I definitely see it's gonna be a healthy dose of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And I think this is going to be a fun game to watch. You know, when you got a player as electric as Kyler Murray, I think it's, and by the way, Kyler Murray, who sat behind Baker Mayfield in Oklahoma. So some of the,
interesting, some more trivia there. And the over-under on this game is 49.5. So it's going to be, it's up there. I'm glad it might be higher than that. You know, thinking about how many points might be scored, but 49.5 is definitely, it's up there on the higher end of the scale.
Yeah, Kyler Murray and I were both in Little League together. Oh no, that's not true.
Adios mio.
I think I was running the day camps, so maybe he came through something like that. But. Right. So, yeah, exactly. So these are our picks. So I have my Dallas as my lock of the week. And Hector, you're picking Arizona. Is that correct?
Arizona, that's a lock.
So, Georgie, what is your lock, guarantee, sell the house, bet on this game choice?
Pittsburgh. Oh. It's Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh. They're home.
And Pittsburgh's at home too.
Pittsburgh's at home.
Seattle's on the road. Geno Smith is on the road.
Much better defense. Seattle has a horrible defense. Seattle has a horrible offensive line, starting a backup quarterback. I think Pittsburgh went on the road. Pittsburgh has great receivers that are going to get open, even and that even Big Ben in his diminished state is going to hit. I just think there's a lot of pluses, you know, and they've got the better running game. Najee Harris has been running like crazy, and Seattle's not stopping the run. So I just think I think everything is pointing towards a cover for Pittsburgh.
I like it. There you go, Nico.
All right. So I'll talk to my friend who's going to Vegas, and we'll see if we can suggest these to him, and then we should go from there.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Nico, you want to share real quick the three underdog picks for your three underdog picks for this week?
Yeah. So I've been just kind of wildly picking some, and I had a three-game parlay that was last week, which were the underdogs. Three of them I like to do because I hit one last week, you know, and three of them will get you there. And I hit the Philadelphia and the Bills and what was my last one? I'm trying to remember. Philadelphia.
Bears.
And the Bears, that's right, because I went against Vegas. And that was the bigger payoff. It was 190 plus 190. But I just felt pretty good. And I had the week before, but this week actually I have three. If I'm going to pick three underdogs to put together, because you think about it, there's always three underdogs that wins. It's just a matter of finding the three that are out there. So if I had to choose three, I would pick Arizona, which I cannot believe they're an underdog. Right. I would also pick the Las Vegas Raiders because, again, new coach and magic happens when that happens. And then the Seahawks just because I think the magic of Geno was going to come out. And so that's pretty good. I think it ends up being like 14-1 odds for a three-game pick. So if you want to go to Vegas or anything – or if you know somebody that knows somebody, that would be my nice little small bet, go to dinner for a week type of thing, you know?
Vámonos.
There you go.
Vámonos. Yeah. Well, we're going to get into some cheese mail real quick. I mean, Nico, you kind of touched on it. The Raiders have a new coach. John Gruden is out. And mm-hmm. the new coach is Steve Bisaccia. So he's the former special teams coach. How do you, I mean, Nico, you're thinking they're going to rally around, you think they're going to rally and play well?
Yeah, I think what happens is when you have a head coach, there's always conflict, you know, but respect, and it's everything mixed together. Special team coaches, assistant coaches, all that tend to get to be the players' friends and get to know them, and they're more like a player than a coach. So I think what happens is when the new coach comes in, they already have that respect for him. They have to step up and they do it. But I think he does it with the attitude of, hey, guys, we're a team. Let's get together. It's not the politics, you know, and they don't know them as having the owner's ear or NFL or any of the other stuff and all the interviews. So they get fired up because they want to be the head coach. I mean, they have a chance now to show that they can be a head coach. So they want to win. And these guys want him to win. So it's the organization. But I think everyone wants and the team wants this new coach to do well. Traditionally, I don't know. They may hate this guy. I don't know. But I've seen that happen in college level and pro.
It's true. Well, I've noticed it too.
They come in and all of a sudden they're like, wow, they won. You know, I thought everyone's like, I thought they were going to lose because they don't have the coach. The
team shows
you got to understand that the head coach usually doesn't call the plays. You know, he's just kind of the overall. So we're in week six now. They already kind of got it down. It's just a matter of letting the offensive coordinator who knows what to run his offense. So, you know, we'll see.
Is the interesting part because Gruden did call the plays. So they're going to be they're now going to be the offensive coordinator calling the plays. It's going to be interesting. You know, they have a good defense. You know, they have a veteran defense. And the thing with veterans, they're not as apt to getting frazzled by something like this. I think there's going to be an adjustment period. And I wouldn't touch that game because it's in Denver. And, if I were to bet a certain way, I'd bet on Denver. But I can see the whole, you know, rally behind them.
Yeah. And Carr used to call a lot of plays. He would go up the line and change them quite a bit. And I think he used to piss off Gruden. And I think they're going to sit there and say, go for it. You see something, you call it. And Carr is going to love that. And he's going to throw that bomb or know when to do it. So I just say, watch out. If you had to take a long shot, once, you know, these guys at 5.5, that's a good one. You know, that's a nice little payoff. So, but I'm not about the money. I'm about the love and about the game.
Well, one of the things that we don't love is injuries, and we're still waiting to hear back. Today it came out that Run CMC, Christian McCaffrey, is 50-50 to play this week, according to head coach Matt Rhule. To me, Familia, I think that when I hear 50-50, I think it's more like 80-20 that he's not playing.
Right. Exactly. Why rush it? You know, why rush it? I don't know when the Panthers bye week is, but why rush it? You know,
I'm looking up their bye right now. I thought I had it in there.
And it's still hamstring, right? That's a weird, you know, I didn't understand it until I had a hamstring pull. And it's one of those things, like, it's not like a healer. It's just, it's there. It's a, it hurts. So
they had a tough game last week. You know, I think this is a good bounce back week for them. And, you know, just get him some rest. You know, you want off run, you don't want this to happen during the playoffs. Like, it's kind of bothering him. We're going to the playoff game. Like, no, you want him to be full power for the playoffs. Get him some rest. Chuba Hubbard can, you know, get in there. Obviously, he's not CMC, but he's serviceable and he can, you know, do his thing, you know, while CMC heals up.
Especially if I'm playing against him, you know, I want him to rest up. Definitely, you know,
you definitely want to rest up.
Exactly. That's me this week. Yeah. I'm playing against him this week. So I want to rest up. That's me.
I only have him on one team. I only have him on one team, and I also happen to have Saquon Barkley on that team. So somehow that team is 5-0. Well, I also picked up Cordarrelle Patterson at the end, and so I'm looking okay because of that, but still it's I want both of them back and healthy. So Saquon, you know, we haven't heard definitive on his sprained ankle, but just looking at everything, our buen amigo Dr. Edwin Porras said that this is a 1 to 2 week injury that he thinks. So 1 week would be this week. I'd be hopeful, but I'm not counting on it. I wouldn't be surprised. But sprained ankles, you just never know. So we're going to do a couple previews and then we're going to get into a quick adentro y afuera. So let's start with the Thursday night football preview. We've got the Buccaneers at 4-1 at the Eagles 2-3. So traveling to Philly. It's not snowball weather, so people aren't going to be throwing anything, but you know, the Eagles fans are going to be reminding Tom Brady about the Super Bowl win that the Eagles had over the New England Patriots. But the Buccaneers, Tom's new team, are 7-point favorites, and it's a 52.5 point over under. I mean, when it comes to players, I'm firing up everybody. You got Brady, who's the QB1 overall right now with 1,767 yards passing. You got Mike Evans. He's the wide receiver 11. You've got Chris Godwin at the wide receiver 13. They've both got 29 receptions. They're both, you know, flirting with 400 yards receiving. So Antonio Brown, who had that huge game last week, he was just targeting them all over the place. He's missed one game, so he's only the wide receiver 26. The tough part is Gronk is out for this game. So a little bit of cheese may worked in here. And you do have Leonard Fournette, who's kind of taking over the starting duties with the running back. I mean, Primos, anybody worried about anybody starting in this game?
Well, didn't Brady hurt his finger? I mean, it's the new, you know, finger.
Everybody's got to hurt their finger.
Yeah,
of course.
It seemed like that. Yeah, his thumb, right? His throwing thumb. So, yeah, that's –
yeah.
You know, it's Tom Brady. You know, he'll find some magical way to get that thumb all better. Yeah. So, yeah. I
had a typing accident. It was terrible. Oh, it was a
typing accident. Thanks, space bar.
Ouch.
So yeah, the Phillies,
you're firing up everybody. You're firing up everybody for the, you know, for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and I think even, you know, a sneaky good play in DFS is Fournette, because the Eagles are number 19 against the running back. They're pretty good against the quarterback and wide receiver. So and bottom half on tight end, but again, there's no tight end worth starting on that with Tampa Bay. But on the Philly side, there are some interesting ones. Jalen Hurts, he's an every week starter now, isn't he? He's the QB7 right now on the season.
Of course, heck yeah.
with the running ability, he's already got 43 rushes, 256 yards. I'm looking at him, but the thing is, the one I'm worried about is Miles Sanders. He did get 16 touches last week. For 51 total yards, but I mean, do you want to lock him into your lineup at this point because you used an early pick on him?
Man, that's tough. I mean, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys that are underperforming right now. You know, I got Calvin Ridley on my squad, and he's underperforming. Miles Sanders underperforming. Over under at 53 or 52 and a half. I mean, he's got to break out at some point, right?
I don't know if it's this week. I mean, the Bucks are incredible against the run. They're number nine against running backs in fantasy points, but they are number one in fewest rushing yards allowed. They're averaging they're allowing only 39.6 rushing yards. Now,
yeah.
I think part of it is they're that good, and the other part of it is teams are just not running on them because the Bucks are allowing 319 yards passing per game. So I think
you know, at this point in the season, you know your squad, you know your team, you know your bench. So it just comes down to if you can afford to, you know, start somebody else over Miles Sanders on your team, probably a good idea. But you know, you may not have a guy. You may have two running backs on your team, and you picked up the rest, you know, flex, you know, receivers and tight ends, and you know, you may not have anybody, or your guy, or you have David Montgomery, and you have a couple of other guys on your squad that are injured, and you're kind of forced to start Miles Sanders. But yeah, if you have an extra guy and you can swap him out, yeah, it's probably a good idea.
Plus, the buys are here, so there are definitely some players
that doesn't help either. Yeah, it already thins out your lineup anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. My phone's blowing up. I'm not sure what's going on, but I forget people are trading at 2 a.m. Like, oh, my God.
Yes.
Go to bed.
It's only Ricky. Well, sometimes it's his brother, Mikey, because he's in England. So it's 2 o'clock in the morning here is 10 a.m. in England. So
exactly.
I'm thinking you're firing up Devontae Smith. One guy that is a sneaky dart throw is Quez Watkins, who's only caught 13 balls this year, but he's averaging 20.5 yards per reception. Wow. And, you know, against that defense, the Bucks are only they're number 28 against wide receivers. I think the way that the Eagles are going to win are going to have a chance to win is through the air. They're throwing. So I think Watkins is a dart throw, especially in DFS. The interesting part is Dallas Goedert went on COVID. The COVID IR today. So Zach Ertz, I think Zach Ertz is a play.
Zach Ertz, yeah, this might be Zach Ertz day, a day to come out and get some targets and get some run.
Yeah, Zach Ertz, aka Lazarus, Lazaro. So I had this meal. So one more game that we're going to preview: Chargers at Ravens. Chargers are 4-1. Ravens are 4-1. Baltimore's a 3-point favorite coming off of that electric game that they just that they came back from a 22-3 deficit and won 31-25 and over the Colts in overtime. As I said, they're 3-point favorites, 52-point over under. You know, even though the Ravens have that great reputation for defense, it's not happening this year. I'm looking at their numbers. They're number 26 against running backs, number 9 against wide receivers, number 15 against tight ends, number 15 against quarterbacks, number 28 against tight ends. I mean, I'm looking at this lineup. I mean, for me, everything starts with the Chargers with Justin Herbert. I mean, I think he has vaulted himself. I mean, there's already MVP talk with him. He's vaulted himself.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. I even heard a podcast today where somebody said that they would take Justin Herbert over Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. I was like, I think it's cool. Give me something what he's drinking. You know,
think of it this way. Look at this. In the last 3 games, Justin Herbert has thrown 11 touchdown passes in 3 games. In the last 3 games. Nobody else has done that. I don't think anybody else is even close to that. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous, you know? So, I mean, he's on fire. He started the year slow, 1 TD in game 1, 1 TD in game 2. And since then, the guy has just exploded. It's like ridiculous. He also had a 29 yards rushing last game, 20 or 29 yards rushing and a rushing TD as well. Five total. So actually it's 8 passing, 11 passing, 1 rushing. So he has 12 TDs in 3 games. I'm going to say it again. Justin Herbert has 12 TDs in the last 3 games. It's crazy. I mean, again, like I said, the Browns defense was this, you know, highly respected defense. Oh man, they're going to do this, that, and the other.
Carved them.
47 points.
Yeah, he's in for the long haul. You're going to start to hear about Herbert Sherbert. That'll be the next one come out. Try my ass here. Herbert Sherbert.
No, I think heck, you've got one, right?
I was calling him Rainbow Herbert. Was it?
That's right.
It was last year before the season. Yeah, that's Rainbow Herbert. Yeah, man. Yeah. That's going to be the new flavor.
I think
nice arc. Perfect arc every time.
Dude, Ravens have. I don't think the Ravens have a chance here, especially they gave up a good chunk of points and, you know, on Monday night, and they're coming off a short week, so they have one less day to prepare. Chargers have a full week of rest. Ravens, you know, coming off a short week, I like them a lot.
A little bit of defense. Baltimore fumbled on the 4. I mean, they should have that game in hand early, but no matter what happened, they still came back. So I wouldn't rule them out completely. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a high scoring game. I think the Cleveland Charger game, it was one of the lowest over unders. What did they end up with, a basketball score? It's just like, come on, you know, it's crazy. Even the guys on the wager wire were like, yeah, lock of the week, the under on that Charger, you know, Cleveland game. And those guys were like, oh man, that was wrong. So,
yeah.
I think it's going to be a high scoring game. It's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be
more the same here. There's going to be a super shooter. This is going to be so fun to watch. Can't wait. Yeah.
I was looking at weather in Maryland for the Washington game, and so the Washington football team and Kansas City, which we're going to talk about in a second. It doesn't look like there's going to be much weather issues in Baltimore this week. They're mostly sunny on Sunday, so it looks like it's going to be good football weather. I think I agree. I think this is going to be a high scoring game. I think you're firing up every Charger. Keep an eye on Mike Williams. He did miss today with a knee injury, but again, on Wednesdays, so many guys are taking a maintenance day.
Quote unquote, so. It's a quote unquote knee injury. Just
to, yeah,
you know, you've been balling out, Mike. Get some rest. You know, just hang out. You know, come back tomorrow. So
yeah, you know, it's funny, Georgie. You mentioned weather, but I mean, it's gotten so bad. We have a dome. It's, you know, they call the game for weather and there's a dome in LA. You know, how does that happen? You know, you know, pretty soon hurricanes in Los Angeles, you know, it's all gonna start.
Don't say it.
They were reporting power outages. There were power surges, power outages So it wasn't a delay because of rain. It was delayed because of lightning. It was a lightning delay. It was an electricity delay. And so they,
well, the marketing department really screwed up. They thought it would be kind of cool with the lightning for the Chargers, but like, whoa, dude, a little bit too much. Slow down.
Tone it down a little bit, God. Some too much, bro.
You know, he's a Charger fan. Come on.
God's a Charger fan.
So sneaky. Cool. A little sneaky play. I mean, you're playing Mike Williams. You're playing Keenan Allen. You're playing Marquise Brown, who's surprisingly the wide receiver 6 on the season.
Touchdown leader, Mike Williams. He has the most TDs of all wide receivers in the NFL. So
far. Oh, yeah.
6.
So, exactly, 6 with 471 yards. Now, here's the interesting part. Muy interesante. Both defenses have been getting gashed by tight ends. So you're definitely playing Mark Andrews, who's the tight end too.
Beast mode, Mark Andrews, man. That was
monster game. Monster game against the Colts last week. But Jared Cook, sneaky. I mean, he's tight end 15 on the season. He had a couple of really big plays, including one. I think it was a fourth down play where he got a little wheel route that he took it for about 20 yards.
That's right.
Pushed down. I think he's a sneaky play this week. So I'm definitely looking at him. Also keep an eye on Latavius Murray as a running back. The Chargers are number 27 against running backs. They are not defending the run particularly well. Latavius Murray, Lamar Jackson. I mean, obviously you're starting Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson could have a big running game in this one. I think plenty to talk about. So, hey, let's get into some adentro y afuera. Close it out.
All right.
So, I was having a tough time with some. So throw some caca at me. Feel free for being Captain Obvious, El Obvio, but El Novio, who's a Novio, Patrick Mahomes at Washington this week. Now, I know you're starting him. He's the QB one on this. He's the QB two on the season right now. So you're playing him no matter what. But I'm saying this is kind of like a warning that the game could go nuclear, kind of like that game against Tampa Bay during the regular season where he went for 462 yards and 5 touchdowns, where he threw for like 300 yards in the first quarter or something like that. I think it's a perfect storm. The weather is going to be great. You know, clear skies and 63 in Washington. That's the only thing that's kind of gives me a little cosa, but this is what he's averaging in his losses, 291.7 yards per passing per game. And he's thrown 8 TDs. This is in the losses. So I think he's coming off a loss. This is a team that's too good. Washington is giving up 301 yards passing per game and giving up almost 3 touchdowns passes a game. This is the baseline. This is ground floor for him. Yeah. So I'm thinking you're firing him up. They're the Washington football team. They're number 31 against the quarterback. I'm calling a 400 yard game on this one, Primos.
Yeah. I don't doubt it, man. He's, I'm sure he's frustrated, you know what I'm saying? And I think the football field is where he releases some of that frustration and just, you know, puts a pounding on that Washington secondary. And I see it. I think he's going to try to just go and, yeah, I think nuclear is the right word. I think he's just going to try to put, you know, lay down the gauntlet, lay down the wood on that secondary. And he's, you know, it might be one of those Nick Foles 6 TD games, man. We'll see. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah. Well, Mahomes has learned not to run, take the slide, do all that. I think he's all done with that. I think he's going to do whatever it takes to win, because there's no way he's going to have another loss. I mean, this will be his. It's already his worst start.
Washington, their defense is their secondary is terrible.
Yeah. They're just getting torched. Getting torched. So that one's. So let's go to London. I don't do a very good London accent, so maybe I'll do it.
I love to do London accent.
London accent.
You got to watch Ted Lasso. That'll help you out a little bit. You know.
Well, I'm going to get a spot of tea for Mr. James Robinson. I'm looking at this one. There's no home field advantage. Well, there is kind of a home field advantage for Jacksonville, but you know, Miami's giving up 120 yards rushing per game just to the running backs, and almost 50 receiving yards to the running backs. Robinson hasn't been getting a lot of work in the passing game, but I think that changes this week. I think he's back-to-back games with 18 carries. And again, the Dolphins are one of the worst defenses in against the running back right now. Anybody want to call me loco for this one?
No, like you said, that's all you got to say is the Dolphins have a bad defense against the run. James Robinson he's ready to rock, man. He's gonna have a great game here. Miami's giving up 120 rushing yards a game. Robinson's gonna eat him up for sure.
I like calling you loco, but I agree with what you're saying. So,
so the next one that I'm going on wide receiver side. This is the last Adentro pick, Chase Claypool against Seattle. I mean, Seattle number 29 against the wide receivers. They're giving up 212 passing yards a game just to the wide receivers. And I think Claypool is going to benefit from Juju Smith-Schuster, a local product, a USC alum. I'm looking at Claypool just coming in and taking some of the targets that Juju left behind. And I'm looking at him. This is a guy who's got a 25% target share with Juju there. So, I mean, I think that's – I mean, obviously Deontay Johnson is going to get part of it. But, I mean, he's such a freak athlete. He's such a super freak. The deep threat and against that bad secondary, I think this is potential for a big game for him.
Oh, for sure. And then, talking about clock management or time of possession rather. How much time of possession is Seattle going to have? They're going to have like a beat down offense. I think they're going to have a couple three and outs in there with Geno back there. So I think Pittsburgh's going to have the ball a lot more. And that being said, if they're going to be running the clock and having that ball on their side in Big Ben's hands, he's going to throw that ball out to Claypool. Yeah, for sure. This is a good opportunity, I think, as any, for Claypool to have a real big show.
Well, Seattle's got the 12th man, but I don't think they can play them. So, but they're going to try.
12 man on the field.
Again, 12 man on the field again. I don't think the fans are getting it.
Again.
Man. So I'm going to go to the afuera side.
All right.
And we've already talked a little bit about this team, more than a little bit about the Raiders. I'm putting Derek Carr there on the quarterback side. I know Nico, feel free to disagree, but I'm looking at him the last two times he's thrown for 196 and 206 yards in the last two games. I know he's a veteran. I know that the play caller is going to work, has been working with him, even though he hasn't been calling the plays, the offensive coordinator. I look at him as, a tough play this week because you got Denver. Denver, they're no joke. They're a good defense again. They're one of the top defenses out there, all around defenses. They're number two against the quarterback this season. So and it's in Denver, Mile High. So not Mile High Stadium, but it's at Mile High.
It's altitude. A Mile High.
who wants in on this one?
I agree. Yeah, Denver defense is no joke. Derek Carr. I mean, the Raiders is as a whole. There is some turmoil there. I mean, yeah, we talked a little bit earlier about a bounce back game, but a bounce back game is kind of more warm and fuzzy stuff. Denver defense in reality is. They're no joke. So they're going to give Derek Carr some fits, and I think he's going to have a tough time.
I quite think that Derek Carr is going to do quite right there. And he's going to be the other coach. I'm sorry. I thought I was in England again. So no, I think Carr is going to assume like another coach role. He'll talk to his players. He'll guide them even better than he ever has done before. I think Derek Carr has a good game, and the Raiders win. Boom.
Right, we're going to see. Well, the next one, we're staying with Derek's. We're staying with Derek's on this one. Right. And this one, I think you guys might think I'm crazy. We're getting a little feedback. This one, you guys might think I'm crazy. I'm looking at Derrick Henry a little bit. Now, familia, before you get crazy, I'm not saying to sit him. But I'm saying, when I say afuera, I'm saying, kind of fade them.
Lower the expectations
because something is going to win in this one. You got the unstoppable force, Derrick Henry, who is an absolute unmitigated stud. And, you know, he is going to have every chance to be the RB1 this season because he has just been unstoppable. And this game is in Tennessee against the immovable object. The Bills are giving up only 49.8 rush yards per game.
Oh, my God.
And in the last four games, you got Henry averaging 145.5. What's going to give?
I think Buffalo is going to stop him. So.
Ooh. This is on Monday Night Football, by the way. So this is going to be the fans are going to be in, you know, out for blood. But yeah, it's this one's going to be caliente. How about you, Heck?
No, I mean, Derrick Henry has had some bad games over the last couple of years. You know, it's not like he's not, you know, 100% guaranteed to go out there and just, you know, light up, you know, the fantasy football world and get numbers. Every once in a while, Derrick Henry lays an egg, or not necessarily an egg, but, you know, lays a stinker of a fantasy game. And this is probably that game for this year. This is probably going to be that game where, you know, he might go up there, maybe throw, you know, rush for, you know, 70 yards, no touchdowns. And, you know, the owners are going to lose their mind because he only got, you know, 7 points or whatever it is. But, you know, it happens, you know, that the beast that he is. Every once in a while, he's going to have a bad game. And if there is ever a time to have a bad game, it's probably going to be this one.
Yeah, I think this one's going to be a tough game. I mean, it's definitely going to be a big test for the Buffalo Bills defense. But, you know, they just passed one of the biggest tests by going into Kansas City and beating Mahomes on a Sunday Night Football. So I think this Buffalo defense may be for real.
Yeah, I mean, from a fantasy standpoint, like you're saying, you know, temper your expectation, but they may just open him up instead of running him into that wall. They may just, you know, use him more in the passing game. So he may not necessarily get a bunch of rushing yards, but at the end of the day, if he ends up with a couple of, you know, nice dink and dunks and, you know, some run after the catch, he's still going to end up with a nice little chunk of points, not so much on the ground, though, more in part of the passing game.
Yeah, I mean, he needs three steps before he starts going. If they stop on step two, he usually doesn't go anywhere. You know, it's kind of like the ball that's rolling down the hill, as long as you can hold it at first, but once it starts rolling, man, you're in trouble. So
yeah, that one's a bowling ball. So yeah, we ain't stopping him when he gets that head of steam. So
yeah.
So the last one, let me know if you think I'm crazy, because I think somebody liked Dallas on this one, but Amari Cooper at New England. So a couple reasons why I put him on here. He's been battling a hamstring injury. So and the other part is he blew up in week one against Tampa, but in all the games since, he's had no more than 6 targets in any game, and he's had 3 receptions in exactly 3 receptions every week since then. To me, that's not someone that is going to be finishing very high in weekly rankings. And New England, again, we're back to talking about the fact that this game is in Foxborough. Yeah. New England is number 8 against wide receivers. They're giving up a total of 160 passing yards to the receivers. So between the hamstring injury, I'm really fading Cooper. I mean, I think this is a potential trap game for the Cowboys. That's why I don't want to stay away from it. I want to stay away from it.
No, and it almost seems like Dak Prescott has just found, you know, more favorable targets for him for his game. You know what I'm saying? Because we've been talking earlier. Nico mentioned that, you know, Dallas is running on all cylinders. They're clicking. They're playing amazing. And even that being said, Amari Cooper is not part of all that success. You know what I'm saying? Like it seems like Dak is, you know, he's just kind of like he's being successful even without having to target Amari Cooper, which is crazy. So something's up there. Maybe it's a hammy thing. Maybe he's not getting separation out there. So yeah, definitely something to be concerned about. And yeah, definitely you can fade Amari Cooper. Something's not right there for sure.
How about you, Gigante?
I concur, Captain.
Captain Kirk.
Yeah. Did you see that today?
I just space, that. Yeah, Captain Kirk.
Captain Kirk was in outer space today. That's amazing.
Unbelievable. Now, every time I think I've seen everything, then something like that happens. So I miss me. But
yeah,
everybody, Eso es todo for our show. Hopefully everybody out there has been making sure to liking and subscribing this on YouTube. So please make sure you're checking us out. Get those updates. We're going to be getting a lot of content out here. I'm going to start doing some little short pieces on like individual players or teams or something like that. Just a couple, you know, maybe 2-3 minutes on something like that, dropping them on the YouTube channel. Also make sure you're going, special thanks to Anchor for putting us on Apple, Google, Spotify. If you want us on audio, subscribe there and please leave us a review wherever you can. Again, we got original content at familiaffb.com. Please go read that Clayton Kershaw, Matthew Stafford story. You're going to love it. I do say so myself. So,
baby.
And go to @familiaffb on Twitter and Instagram. Heck, where are they finding you?
At what the heck? 2 T's.
You can find me at Jorge Martin 17. Please make sure you're following us on Facebook. And remember, everybody, go Dodgers!
Yeah, Giants, baby!
Adios, amigos!
Orale, Julio Urias. Mucha buena suerte. My mom is going to turn on a veladora for you. She's probably already got it on for you. But, and remember, everybody, somos raza. Always remember, todos somos familia.
Salud!